The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Green Scene on The Pat Kenny Show with Repack, supporting the circular economy and reducing the impact of packaging on the environment.
As always, Dr. Ruth Freeman of Research Ireland joins me, where she picks up wonderful research and scientific topics to do with the environment and our health. And today we're going to talk about heat, heat and ageing, and a new study in relation to citizens' heat mapping. So let's start with, if you lie out in the sun, it's going to make you old, is it?
Well, I mean, obviously we know sunbathing is not very good for your skin and your health, but this is actually a much more fundamental issue about our ageing when we live in hot climates. So it's new research from the University of Southern California. And what they did was they assessed the blood of nearly 4,000 adults over 55. And then they looked at where those adults lived and how much heat they had experienced in the days, weeks, months and years prior to their blood samples being taken. And luckily they had historical blood samples as well. So they were able to look back at historical blood samples also. And what they found was pretty incredible. And what they found was at the genetic level, people who experienced more hot days, more than 140 days where the temperature was over 32 degrees, were 14 months older in terms of their biological age than people who lived in cooler climates. And this is really interesting because we've known for years that heat, even when it doesn't have to be that hot, you know, temperatures like the early 30s do put a significant strain on the human body. They impact on our blood pressure.
You
our
get
heart.
Wrinkly skin, don't
well,
you?
Well, that's from the sun. That's obviously the issue. The sun.
This is actually
the physical heat, the issue of your body being too warm.
Even though you could be indoors.
Even though you could be indoors, okay. And you could be in the shade. So this is obviously of, I mean, we're not experiencing a huge amount of heat here at the moment.
Yeah, I was just looking at, because if you said 30 degrees there, the highest temperature recorded in Phoenix Park last year, and they say it's getting warmer all the time, was the 24th of June, it was 26.6. So this should be good news for Ireland.
Well, in a way it is, but if you think about Europe as a whole, while this research comes from the US, these trends, in the States, they're going to have 10 or 20 more days a year, you know, over the next few years that hit these temperatures, particularly in the southern states. And of course, what it means as more southern areas, whether you're talking about Europe or the US, they will essentially start to become much harder to live in unless we have technologies to address this heat.
What is an epigenetic clock?
So this is the clock. This is what they looked at. And what we find is with our DNA, while we inherit our genes from our parents, chemical changes happen to our genes over time. So it's something called methylation. Different chemical groups are added on to the DNA and taken away, and they change how our genes work. And these patterns of chemical changes to our DNA happen fairly regularly over time. So scientists can use this as a kind of molecular clock. It ticks along as we age. But we do see that certain things make that clock tick faster. So things like poor diet, not doing any exercise, pollution, being exposed to environmental stressors also does it. But this is the first time that we have established that just being in hotter conditions for prolonged periods of time.
So explain to me,
what
is it in the biology of the body that the high temperatures is changing?
Well, it's a bit like some of these methylation and changes. I mean, we know, for example, that DNA can be mutated or changed through chemical stressors. But this is about which genes are on and off. And our genes do age as we get older. We go through probably a number of sort of significant ages.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and we know there's certain points where that aging process speeds up. So, for example, we know the genes where you metabolize alcohol, you know, tend to become less effective in people's 40s. And a lot of people will feel that. But that's happening throughout your body for lots of different genes, whether they be related to your immune system or your metabolism. Now, obviously, some of them we don't recognise the individual effects, but we feel the overall effect.
And what's the impact of heat on sleep?
Well, we know that it can be much harder to sleep. I mean, when we do get those odd hot nights in Ireland, it's much harder to sleep. And of course, when you have sleep disruption, that has another whole slew of impacts on your health. You know, you're not getting that restorative sleep that your brain needs to clear out toxins. You're not getting your REM sleep, which is going to help you consolidate your memories and kind of have a better cognitive performance. So heat's also going to impact on how well our brains are going to work if you're suffering from sleep
deprivation. So air conditioning, stay in a cool place. Now, tell us about this scientist's citizen heat mapping.
So one of the issues with heat is, how do we know how hot it is? You might say, well, it's very easy, just go and look at a thermometer. But in fact, what we are finding out now, there can be huge variation, particularly in cities. So you might take the temperature out at the airport, but what we're finding is the temperature could be as much as 10 or 11 degrees different in another part of the city. And often what we find is we get this urban heat effect, urban island heat effect, where buildings, pavements, concrete attract more heat. Now, satellites are not very good at resolving those temperatures down to very, very granular levels. So in Reno, in Nevada, citizens are now monitoring the heat themselves. They have these special heat sensors. It looks like a snorkel coming out of your car. And as they drive around their neighbourhoods, they're picking up very accurate heat maps, even from a street level. And this is really important because we know that we're going to have to make interventions at a city planning level, whether that be planting more trees, you know, coating buildings with reflective coating, thinking about maybe, as you say, air conditioning being more critical in certain parts of the city. And we know that city areas that have more heat stress tend to coincide with poorer neighbourhoods. So getting this data at this very granular level from citizens is an important way of helping authorities to plan.
In terms of urban planning, what can be done to target cooling solutions?
Well, trees are one of the big ones. Just planting more trees, more green spaces. They shade, they release water vapour. Having water, having parks, these are all really, really critical. And these kind of citizen science projects now are springing up all over the US, but also in Africa and Europe, so that we have the data to know where we need to put the interventions is as our cities heat up.
All right. You see, there you go with your sun holidays. Go to Termonfeckin or somewhere like that for your holidays and don't be burnt alive in terms of the heat. Dr. Ruth Freeman of Research Ireland, always a pleasure to get insights into the latest into scientific research. Thank you, as always, for joining him.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.